Welcome to Mysteries, Myths, and Legends. I'm Taylor.
I'm Savannah.
And welcome to the show. Happy Wednesday, everybody.
Happy Wednesday, Taylor. How are you?
I'm good. You know, we do record these episodes early, so I'm talking to you from the past right now. Well, actually, we always are, but specifically right now, I'm talking past Taylor is saying that she gets to see Harry Styles tomorrow for weekend two of Coachella, and I am very, very excited.
I'm excited, too. We're waiting for them to, like, bring out another person, you know?
Yeah.
I know there's going to be another guest.
Definitely. And I am just going to throw it out there right now. We recorded this before Coachella. I think it's going to be Lizzo.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Because she said that she's going to be there this weekend on an interview. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, why? And she was like, well, you'll see. So,
yeah.
I mean, she's going to be there regardless. But I love her. I saw
the same thing.
Love that. So, I would love that. I did, however, also see that, for anybody who's not a Harry fan, they're just like, what the heck? But it could be Niall. So,
I know.
One Direction back together pieces of it.
See, I was thinking that, too. I was like, if it's Niall, I will...
Oh, I'll die.
Like,
this will be the last podcast. It'll be scheduled and it'll be up, but I will be gone because simply my One Direction heart can't take it.
I know. No, and I was a Niall girl, so.
I was not, but I still couldn't take it. Anyway, Harry Styles and One Direction corner over. You know, he always comes back. Him and Edward Cullen. They're never going to leave.
Oh, of course.
So. Please go rate and review us on Apple Podcast and Spotify if you haven't already. I'm trying to think of anything else I know. There's just been a lot of Harry drama this past week. And so that's really all my mind is thinking about, which I can't lie, it is what my mind is thinking about all the time already. So.
Yeah.
Not
and
too
honestly, if you're a fan of Harry, you already know what happened. So
you know what we're talking
about.
You
get it.
Either you get it or you don't. But anywho, I don't really have any other intro topics. Nothing really going on. Well, a lot going on, but nothing worth talking about. So
yeah, about same here. A lot going on, but you know, not, we don't need to talk about it.
Yeah, we're not here for us, you know.
Okay, so let's get into some legends.
Let's do it.
This one that I have this week isn't, I guess it's not really a legend. It is a haunted house.
Ooh, spooks my gooks. I'm excited.
So this is a really weird house. It's similar to the Winchester Mystery House.
Oh,
it is
yay.
Kerner's Folly.
Kerner's Folly. Okay.
So this is a historic home in Kernersville, North Carolina.
Oh, shout out Kernersville. K-Ville. K-Vegas, baby. That's what we call it.
Oh, if you're from there.
Yeah, I guess you wouldn't know because you're not from there, but yeah, people call it K-Vegas.
Oh, okay. I actually drive by Kernersville like every single day on my way to work.
True, that's so crazy. So does my dad.
Yeah, because I go from Winston-Salem to Greensboro, and that's right in the middle is Kernersville. It's sort of like, you know, it's so weird because it's a small town in the middle, like, in between two big cities. So, like, you go there and you feel like you're in the middle of nowhere, but you're really, like, 20 minutes from a big city. So,
for sure. Also, can we just throw it back? I feel like the listeners would appreciate this. I don't know how many years ago it was, Savannah. I'm going to round and say probably five. But, so, around 5 years ago, we went to a haunted house in Kernersville, but, like, in a warehouse. Do you remember that?
Oh my gosh, yes.
It was like during Halloween time, and it was one of those like mazes, but it was pitch black dark in there, you guys. Like, I couldn't see a single thing. It was scary.
Didn't we bring your brother too?
Yes. And then he lost his hat in the dark, scary maze, and we had to go back and get it, remember?
Yes.
Crazy.
I forgot about that. That was crazy.
I know.
I couldn't ever remember where that was.
It was in Kernersville. I remember because I just remember pulling up. So, you know, like during Halloween time, like all these like scary attractions kind of just show up anywhere in all cities. And I had never heard of this one. It was like clearly new. When I pulled up the address, when I just drove up to this warehouse, I was like, I'm really going to get murdered. Like, this is a real haunted house and I'm getting killed. But it wasn't.
I know. Yeah, we showed up there and
I know.
we all thought the same thing. We were like, wait, should we do this?
Literally, when I got out of the car, a man chased me with a chainsaw. But then I knew. I was like, okay, it's for the scare
yeah. factor. And then afterwards, we went to cookout.
So. We sure did. And actually, the funnest part about all of this is that that was, like, right after I got my GoPro. So all of this is recorded because my brother, like, really wanted to record it on my GoPro. Gosh. So, like, yeah, it's, like, all recorded. Our whole entire adventure from the place to cookout.
I forgot about all that. No, we need to upload that.
We do. At least a clip. Because honestly, yeah, first of all, we look like babies. Mm-hmm. And it's really funny. So we'll probably, I can find it and pull it up. Anyway, side story over. Let's hear about another haunted house in Kernersville, but a real one, mm-hmm. I'm assuming. So
yeah, and this honestly isn't as scary as what we did.
That's funny.
Okay. So, yes, it's haunted, but we'll get there later. I'm going to talk about some of the history of it first, because it is just, like, such a weird house.
Yes.
And so you did the Winchester Mystery House a while ago, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So if you haven't listened to that one, definitely go back and listen to that, because this is very similar.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear Lux barking in the background.
We love her. One of our many assistants.
If she doesn't stop in a minute, I'll go stop.
Okay.
Anyways. this house was, the building of it, like, the construction started in 1878.
Oh my God.
So, a long time ago.
The fact that there's a house that old in Kernersville.
I know. Like, this is one of the oldest, like, well-preserved houses. In the area, and it was opened to the public on Easter Sunday in 1880.
Oh, wow.
And it was built by Jule Gilmer Kerner, and Kerner is actually K, and then it's not an E, it's a O with a umlaut.
Okay.
So, if you know what that is.
yeah, I think I do. I mean, it's one of the fancy little weird things above the letter, but...
Yeah, it's an O with, like, two dots above it.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah. So, it's, like, Kernersville is spelled with an E, but, like, the original Kerners was, like, with this weird O. So
that's so weird.
Something interesting. But anyways, this guy, we'll take it back a few years before this house was even built. Jule Kerner, he made a fortune painting murals to advertise Bill Durham smoking tobacco.
Oh, good. Yeah. North Carolina is really known for that. So.
Yeah. So, like, of course, tobacco. But he would, like, paint these murals on buildings and barns across the East Coast to advertise.
Mm-hmm, that's cool.
And I think he didn't, like, found Kernersville, but, like, his family did. Like, it was his dad or grandfather.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And, I mean, I also don't want to, like, make this guy seem, like, make their family seem all that great because, you know, they were, like, white people in the early 1800s, 1700s. Yeah. So you kind of know what they were up to the South.
We can definitely imagine.
But anyways, we're just going to talk about this house. After he was, like, painting these murals, he came back to Kernersville and started to build Kerner's Folly. And this was to start his interior design business.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of crazy. He wanted this house to be, like, weird. So, mm-hmm. I'm gonna give a little description of it. And there's, like, nothing else like it, honestly.
Okay. I'm excited.
So, it's 6,000 square feet.
That's huge.
Yes, pretty big. 3.5 floors.
Mm-hmm.
And also 7 levels.
Okay, what which the is like heck I don't really understand.
I know, I don't really understand that.
That I mean, but I would assume that it means like there's probably like an attic level, a basement level that's like not included in the floor levels.
Yeah, maybe.
But I don't know how that's possible that it could be 7. I could think maybe 3. So that's interesting.
I feel like we have to go there to see.
100%. I don't even care about the rest of your story. We're going. Like, that's easily accomplished. Kernersville? Easy.
I know.
Vlog coming up?
I've probably driven past it, like.
Right, and now I'm thinking, like, where is it? Because I've been all around Carnageville.
Mm-hmm.
All around it.
It also, inside, has ceiling heights ranging from 5.5 feet, which is, like.
That's so short.
So short.
I wouldn't even able to stand.
Right. Which is the children's playroom, and then up to 25 feet.
God, how big is this place? I can't even imagine it.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. It has 22 rooms.
Dang.
It is a brick house.
She's a brick.
And
Let me not.
Yeah. It is 48 feet on each side. So I guess it's like a square. I don't really know. And it has like a huge pointed roof. Like there's a huge point in the hat in the front. That makes it look like a witch's hat, sort of.
Okay. Yes. I had to look up a picture of it because I'm just sitting here like, what the heck is going on? This is a weird looking house.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. I have even more descriptors here. So each window is different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you can see in the picture you pulled up. I sure can.
That's so weird.
It has 6 chimneys. And
really does have 6 chimneys.
And it has 8 different sizes of bricks.
I have one big question, and that is why. I know you're going to get there.
I mean,
but maybe you're not going to get there.
There's kind of not really a reason. It's just because I guess he wanted to do, like, unusual architecture to show off, like that his... he can,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's one way to do it, let me tell
because
you.
Because he actually used this to, like, showcase his business.
Oh, okay.
So, like, at first.
Okay, that totally makes sense then.
Uh-huh. Also, this house has, like, narrow hallways.
Ew.
It has, like, Victorian furniture and decorations. And there's also a third floor that has a Cupid's Park, which is said to be the oldest private theater in America.
In America?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
That's insane. What?
I feel like I've done, like, 2 other houses that have theaters. Like, why do all these fancy houses have
You've
theaters?
You've definitely at least done one that I'm thinking of at this very moment.
Yeah, there's at least one, but...
That's so... crazy. I'm just sitting here confused as to how I've never heard of this, and I have lived there all my life.
Yeah, I don't know how. It's like a hidden gem, I think.
Truly.
But in the theater, local children could come and learn, like, performing arts and etiquette.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause Kerner's wife, Polly Alice, she would teach them.
Polly Alice?
Yeah, Miss Polly Alice. So, as I said before, this house was used to, like, showcase his business. It was a showroom for interior decorating and furniture designs that he made.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, like, really strange at the time, and it's still strange now, but, like,
definitely.
It was strange at the time because most people bought their furniture and home decor from a catalog.
He was trying to really change the game.
Mm-hmm. He's like, actually, you guys should come and see it in person. Like, instead
I mean, I honestly agree. Mm-hmm. I don't like buying furniture that I can't see.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how people did it. Okay, so most of the things that were in the house, they were, like, put there while the house was still being built, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. And some of it, like, can't be moved from its spot.
I find that, like, so interesting, like, built in fully. I think that's so cool. I mean, it's weird, that's for sure. But, like, I think it's so cool, like, about old houses that build around things.
Yeah, like, that's kind of how it is. So a lot of the stuff can't really be rearranged or anything. Wild. And there's a piano in the attic. And how it got up there, like, they had to lift it up through a trap door.
Through a trap door.
Yeah, he built a trap door so then he could bring the piano.
Specifically for the piano?
Yes.
The extraness of this.
Yeah. So they brought it up there and, like, it can't be moved now.
Wow.
And most of the furniture was built right where it stands now, still.
Wow.
So,
That's really cool.
This house, oh, throwback to last week, because this house was also rented out as a funeral parlor.
Excuse me?
Yeah, for a time.
Okay. This house is weird, dude. That is weird vibes. It's already weird. How are you going to add funeral parlor to it? Why would you do that?
I don't know. Yeah, it was a funeral parlor and also an antique store.
Oh.
At one point.
Oh, wow.
So the antique store, actually, they often claim that their items were, like, moved around by ghosts. But, but like, this doesn't happen anymore because it's not, the antique store, like, has moved. And most of the stuff is just things that have been there the whole time. You know, so like they're original to the house. So I'm guessing that's why ghosts wouldn't want to move it, because they're like, okay, we can keep this stuff. But the antiques, it's like,
they gotta go.
Why are you putting your stuff here?
Right. If it's not built in, it can't stay. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So let's get into more of the haunted stuff. So there is like many different accounts over the years of people like finding just like different weird things throughout the house. So the first one I have here is a woman who was like cleaning the house when it was vacant at the time. She claimed to hear footsteps coming down the stairs. And she like even thought somebody had broken in.
Yeah.
Because it was so like real. But then she looked around a little bit and nobody was there. It was still empty.
Ew. Spooky. Very creepy.
The Winston-Salem Paranormal Society actually investigated the house in October of 2011.
Ooh.
And now I'm thinking, like, do I need to join the Winston-Salem Paranormal Society?
I believe that you absolutely need to do that.
Yeah, I might have to look into that. Yeah, so they went and investigated this, and they also had a reporter with them, Veronica White from WXII 12.
Shout out.
Yeah. So, yeah, they had Veronica White with them, and they used an EMF detector, of course, and audio equipment to find some evidence of ghosts. In the theater, they put flashlights up on the stage, and they told the spirits, like, turn off the lights if you're here. And they did.
Oh,
and they told them to turn them on and off, and they went on and off.
Ooh.
So, that would freak me out.
Okay, listen, I was just going to say, I've seen that in real life, and that absolutely did freak me out. Because that's, like, really hard to explain. Like, yes, it could be, like, a glitch in the, like, wiring or whatever, the battery life. I don't know. It could be a lot of things. But, like, when they answer it, like, yes, like, on, no, off, like, quick like that, it's, like, really kind of hard to dispute, you know what I'm saying?
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's just, I don't know. Like, and nobody can really do that, like, trying to trick you, you know?
Exactly. Unless, like, you had, like, some sort of a, like, remote control flashlight, but you would really have to plan that out if you were really trying to trick somebody.
So, they did a similar thing in the master bedroom of the house, too. They asked the spirits to turn off the light, and they did, and then they asked if there was a woman present to turn the light back on, and it went on.
Ooh, so it's a girl.
Yeah, I guess so.
At least in the master bedroom.
Yeah. And then one flashlight rolled off the desk, but the desk was level, so there was no explanation as to how it rolled off.
Creepy.
Mm-hmm.
The ghost said, get this out of here. It wasn't built in the house.
Right. No, yeah. They also went into the children's playroom, which, creepy already.
The absolute most creepy part of the house.
And also, I forgot about this. Like, think about how this is 5.5
feet. Yeah, short. I saw, pictures on Google of people standing in the short room, like, hunched over.
Yeah.
That's horrifying. Because I feel like I would, first of all, if I got scared, I feel like I would, stand up. But then, like, really hurt myself.
Yeah, maybe. So in the children's playroom, one of the investigators said, "You can turn out the light." And then they caught somebody say, "Turn."
Ew. Ew, ew, ew.
Yeah, they just, like, heard a voice. And they did say, though, that the atmosphere in that room was friendly.
Well, I mean, that's good, but it's still creepy. Like, I mean, it's still scary.
That's true.
Like, even if I... Like, even when ghost things happen and I think it's my grandma, I'm still scared.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right. Me too. Okay, so that's all I have for that group. The next group was the Southern Paranormal and Anomaly Research Society, or SPARS.
Oh, okay.
They investigated in 2009. They reported that they heard several disembodied voices.
Ew.
There was mysterious specks of light, which, you know, we're
not an orb. Light. Listen.
Yeah.
We're not a big fan of orbs or light phenomena on this podcast.
Because that can be explained, you know. Mm-hmm. We're just like...
We need the real stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this next one, though. They heard they have an EVP in the playroom of a little girl saying peekaboo.
Ew, Savannah. Absolutely not. No.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
Ew, I kind of want to hear it.
Me too. They also have audio of a male voice saying haunted. Which is...
Haunting.
Breaking the fourth wall a little bit.
Yes, if you will.
The ghost knows it's a ghost? I don't know.
I mean, I would hope the ghost would know it's a ghost.
Yeah, I mean, some of them, isn't there, like, a theory that, like, they don't know and they just think they're living their life as normal?
Yeah. I hope that's not true, though, because that's just sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. Okay, also, when they played back one of the EVPs, they heard a low voice say, "What is EVP?"
Okay, me as a ghost.
True.
Okay, honestly, that's actually so funny. I'm trying to meet these ghosts. They seem chill.
I know. No, this house, like, that's what I'm saying. I said it's, like, not scary haunted.
Like, can we go investigate? Like, I need to look up what it takes to, like... Like, we can make a paranormal research society.
True. Or we just join one of these and say, can we just go back?
I mean, that's true. We need to update.
Yeah. Okay, so there's another group, Haunted NC... Which,
there's so many to choose from.
They're all local to us. We need to look them up.
We really do.
But they investigated in April of 2010.
Okay, so we definitely need to go back, because it's been, like, a decade.
Yeah. It's been at least 10 years for all of these, so. They set up an EMF meter in the room, and started an experiment. Oh, I didn't even write down which room they were in, but one of them.
One of the 22.
Yeah, so they asked the spirits to spike the meter a certain number of times, and the meter actually did spike that many times whenever they asked. So
that's interesting.
I think they did it, like, a few times. So if they asked five times, then it would go off five times.
That's weird.
Yeah. And some other things about this creepy house. In the theater, people would, like, be locking up for the night, I guess, and turn off all the lights to leave. And then when they get outside, the lights are back on in the theater. And they have to go all the way back upstairs and turn it back off. And then they get back outside and it's on again. So someone's, like, just playing prank with
me. Okay, please let me tell you a really quick side story. So
Okay.
This one is just filled with side stories, but it's, you know what? It just happens. So in theater, like, so I used to, like, be in plays and musicals and all these things. And so, like, in the theater, which you said this happens in the theater, right? So that's very interesting.
Yeah.
Specifically in theater, there's this, like, well-known, like, myth, I guess you could call it. Known as the ghost light. And you are supposed to leave a light on stage every time, like, there, you are never supposed to leave a stage in complete darkness. You are supposed to always have one light on at least for all the ghosts or spirits that could be on the stage.
Oh.
And I could not really tell you where that originated from, but I just know personally, like, you have to make sure before you leave that the ghost light's on. Always. Always. And that has been across all theaters I've ever worked on. So, like, I know it's not just, like, a me thing. So maybe we'll have to look more into that in another week. But it's definitely a thing, the ghost light in theater.
I've never heard of that.
They should have just left the light on for the ghost, and then they would have been chilling. You know? That's all they wanted was they didn't want to be in the dark.
I mean, maybe they did leave it on after that, because, like, how many times are you going to walk all the way down?
Exactly. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point. Maybe, yeah. Maybe that's why it started as a thing. Like, it just, I don't know.
Hmm. That's spooky.
It sure is.
Okay. Well, there's a few other things, but that one really hit it off. So there is somebody who was working in the house. They were working on the air conditioning, and they had an experience.
Ooh.
The guy was, like, you know, doing his thing, and his hat was tapped 3 times on the brim.
Ooh.
And he was so scared that he left and never returned.
Okay, I don't think... I mean, first of all, that's such a strange feeling.
Right.
Tapped, like, 3 times on the brim of a hat.
I would be scared.
I mean, I guess, like, if he really felt it. Yeah, if he, like, really felt it, I would be scared too. But I would probably just think that I felt something, or, like, something hit my head or something.
That's true. Like, I don't think I would go so far as to say it's a ghost.
Yeah, I wouldn't immediately be like, oh my god, a ghost just tapped my hat really hard 3 times.
Yeah.
But I don't know, maybe, I don't know how hard he felt it, so.
Yeah, exactly. There's another thing that has to do with the air conditioning, sort of. So, a male paranormal investigator, he had the same experience.
Oh.
But he measured the temperature in the room to be 10 degrees lower.
Oh.
Like, at the time of the tapping. But
that's weird.
I mean, is this because he didn't finish fixing the air conditioning, or...
Right, okay, that's what I'm saying. Like, is it really something in the room that doing that? I don't know either, but...
Well, I'm just saying that the fact that it's 10 degrees lower...
Oh, well, that's for sure because he didn't fix the air conditioning yet. That's no doubt about it.
Well, I don't know. Could be a ghost. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, you're right.
Okay, so moving on from that one, there is an apparition of a little girl that's seen often at the house. Local residents have seen her on the front porch at night.
Mm-hmm.
And they have seen her in the theater room on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And the giggling of a little girl has been heard.
Mm. I'm like, oh, this is so cute. And then immediately, no.
Okay, I think the little girl on the front porch is creepy, though. You think that's cute?
Well, no. None of it's cute. I mean, it's cute, but then it's really not cute.
Yeah, I mean, I guess actually, it is cute because they're all nice ghosts. So there's that.
I know, but it's still so scary. Like, imagine seeing a little girl and you know there's not a little girl there.
Yeah.
Ew. Mm-mm. Something about children ghosts, I just don't ever trust them. Could be a demon.
Yeah, true. I love how you say, like, I don't ever trust them, as if you're around them all the time.
Maybe I am. I don't know.
Maybe. So, some other things people say they find in this house. There's, like, the smell of tobacco smoke appearing throughout, as if someone's walking around smoking.
Mm. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because
it's, like, not like the whole house smells like smoke, you know? Like, it usually smells fine, you know?
Yeah.
Like, a normal house. Mm-hmm. But then it's as if somebody's actively smoking in the room.
Yeah, like when somebody just sparked it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's wild. Creepy. And that is pretty much the rest of the spooky stuff I have. You can take a self-guided tour throughout the house
mm-hmm.
For $10.
Okay, so we're definitely doing that.
Yes. This house is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, and they regularly hold puppet shows for children in the theater, in the haunted theater. They also hold community events and fundraisers on the lawn, and they decorate, like, extravagantly, like, super crazy Victorian-era decorations for Christmas.
I was just gonna say, I saw the Christmas pictures. It's so pretty, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it does look super weird, but it's so pretty.
Yeah, that's, like, their most popular time is Christmas.
I wanna go at Christmas.
So, yeah. Yeah, this house is, like, a must. Like, I feel like I need to see it. There's, like, 22 rooms. Like, what?
I need to see it. For $10, and easy.
It seems like the theater is the most haunted, because that's where all these people are saying stuff is happening. Yeah,
it was so creepy. We have to go. We're definitely going. No question about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just literally going through my mind, like, when can I go home literally next to go to this place?
Uh-huh.
Crazy. That's such a cool story. I'm just so confused how I've never heard of it.
No, I know. I don't know how you haven't either.
I need to ask my brother if he's heard of it, because he has lived in Kernersville.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he does. We shall see.
He's probably going to be like, oh, I drive past that every day.
I he's know. Like, I've been there 100 times, Taylor.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, okay, so moving along, I suppose. I was just looking at our list of the many things that we have covered thus far on this podcast, and realize we just, for as much as I love aliens, don't really cover aliens that much, which isn't really, you know, too much of a legend, but I was like, I think it's alien time. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, I've noticed that before too, but I try to find something alien.
It is hard.
Like, yeah, it's really hard to find some stories about aliens.
It definitely is. But I have one for us today. So today I'm covering the abduction of Betty and Barney Hill.
Oh my gosh.
So
I know this one.
Really? Wow. Yeah, okay, I did not know this.
I think they covered it on Mile Higher podcast.
Oh, shout out to Mile Higher. Yeah, we love them. Well, I didn't listen to them for a while. Took a break, but now I'm back on it. But I haven't went back and listened. So that's probably why I haven't heard about this. Anyway, if you don't know the story, this story is allegedly the very first widely publicized report of an alien abduction in the United States.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, so that's not saying like it is the official like first abduction, but like it's the first one that was like very much so like reported in the news, like a lot of people knew about it. So let's see here.
It was before it became cool.
Yeah, right. Yes, of course. So, this one is extremely well-known, as I said, and I'm just really excited to dive right in. So, I'm going to set the scene for us, as per usual. Mm-hmm. It's September of 1961 in a rural part of New Hampshire, which, just up there in the New England area, I'm just like, everything crazy happens up there. Yeah. The hauntings, the aliens, just got about the weird stuff going on.
It's just, like, cold all the time. Exactly. Like, I don't really...
Like, I'm confused who wants to even live up there. Aliens.
We're just offending so many people.
Oh, for sure I am. I'm so sorry. I don't like the cold. That's just me, though. So.
I've definitely driven through some of those states.
New Hampshire?
I've been to... I think so. I don't know. I've been to Canada up there.
What? See, I've just never even been.
But I've never really stayed in the New England states and, like, actually seen them, you know?
Yeah, I have never.
So I don't really know.
But, yeah, I've never, ever in my life. So I'm offending you, and I've never even been there. I'm sure I would love them. Sorry about it. Anyways, so I am calling the story The Abduction of Betty and Barney Hill, but it's actually known as a lot more names than just that. So some of the other ones, it's referred to as the Zeta Reticuli incident.
Oh, that's
and the Hill abduction, obviously. So what is the Zeta Reticuli incident, you may ask? Uh-huh. So I'm skipping a little bit ahead, but I would also be curious. So basically, this couple says that, you know, they were abducted by aliens and that they were shown a star map, and according to some researchers, like, who have followed this case and followed what the heck they're even talking about. They think that it could possibly be the star system that is called the Zeta Reticuli system.
Oh, okay.
Like the, it's like a named thing. So that's why. But I'll get more into that a little bit later. So the Hills lived in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And Barney actually worked for the U.S. Postal Service. And Betty was a social worker. So, you know, they were just very active in their community. They were actually an interracial couple. And so at the time, this was very uncommon in the United States, like the early 1960s, you know, times.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was, they were like very progressive of their, for their time. So they actually like worked really close with their church and the NAACP in their little town. So yeah, they were really seen as community leaders. And Barney was black and Betty was white.
Okay.
So there was already controversy like in the town over them just simply because of that fact. So then when all this came out, you know, that definitely played a part into it as well.
Yeah, sadly. I know. I feel like it calls even more attention to it.
For sure. For sure.
Just because.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so messed up. So
controversial.
Yeah.
In both ways. It's like aliens and then also the, it's just like.
Yeah, exactly.
People are probably losing their minds.
Oh, they were for sure losing their minds. Way too much for them to handle. So, according to many reports, the UFO sighting happened around 10:30 p.m. on September 19th in 1961. So, the Hills were actually driving back home to Portsmouth from a vacation to the Niagara Falls. So, they were driving from Canada to New Hampshire. And so, they had just made it just south of Lancaster, New Hampshire, when Betty claimed to see a very bright light in the sky. And it was dark. Like, it was, like, 10:30, like I said, at night. So, all of a sudden, she just sees this very bright light in the sky. And she said that it moved from right below the moon and planet Jupiter, because I guess she could see Jupiter from that night. And then it flew upward west of the moon. So, that's weird. So, Barney was driving and trying to, like, see what she was talking about. But he was driving, so he, like, missed it. And Betty just convinced herself. She's like, well, that was just a falling star. I'm like, girl, falling upwards star? I mean, I'm
okay,
sure.
Okay, but if you have no other explanation and you've never heard of, like, aliens, you know?
Oh, okay, yeah, you're right. I'm putting myself never in heard Betty's of it. Shoes. Yeah, you're right. No, you're right. I would be like, okay, yeah. But she also knew, though, she, like, wasn't dumb. She's like, I'm not stupid. Like, falling stars fall down, not up. You know, gravity. So she was like, Barney, well, how about we just pull off the side of the road? Because they had a dog, actually. And they were like, you know what? The dog needs to pee and get out anyway. So let's just stop and just see if we can see. You know, whatever.
Okay, but I would try to get away from that. Like, why are you going to go closer to it?
I don't know. Well, then not get closer. Just, like, pull over to see. I don't know. Like, maybe, you know, I don't know. Maybe they are scared of, like, war. I don't know what they could be scared
of. Yeah, see, I was about to say, like, if I was in their shoes and wasn't really thinking about aliens or anything, I would think it's, like, a ship.
Like a bomb some or something. Sort. Yeah. Yeah. Or something. Anything.
And then, like, you would still want to get away from that. I don't know.
I know. But maybe, I mean, it was, like, near Jupiter and the moon. So, like, I think she could tell it was far.
Okay.
Yeah. So, anyway, they, you know, stop. He pulls over. He's like, yeah, whatever. They're just, like, letting their dog walk in. The thing is gone. They, like, miss it. But they're, like, luckily they had packed some binoculars for, like, their trip to Niagara Falls. So Betty pulls them out and was just like, let me just look. So she's just looking. It takes a couple minutes. But then suddenly, okay, she sees what she describes as an odd-shaped craft that was flashing multicolored lights across the face of the moon.
Oh. Huh.
And I'm like, okay. So we got a show on the moon. That sounds cool.
Right.
So Betty, after this, kind of immediately jumps to, like, this is a UFO. Because apparently her sister had seen a flying saucer the year before.
Okay. Which
I'm like, okay, that's crazy. So she was like, okay, maybe I'm seeing what my sister saw. Whatever
okay,
that
so
is.
Are you saying that she does know about aliens?
Yeah, though? Yeah, she does know about aliens. Because her sister had claimed to see a flying saucer. But also, the flying saucer that her sister saw was probably just a plane.
Right.
But anyway, so yeah, they knew about aliens. That's why I'm like, I don't know. Okay. Honestly, Betty is me. I'd be like, immediately, this is aliens. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so she thought she was seeing what her sister saw. So Barney, on the other hand, completely opposite of Betty. I feel like you might be Barney in this situation, Savannah. And he was like, honey, that's definitely a plane. Like, no doubt about it, that's a plane. And, but, so as he's, like, looking, he was like, okay, it's a plane, but let me see the binoculars anyway. So he looks through the binoculars, and he's like, oh. So he quickly changes his mind, because when he looked through the binoculars, the craft had completely stopped and started flying in the opposite direction than what Betty was describing very, very quickly, like, in the blink of an eye, like, was moving in such a speed that, like, planes could not move, especially at this time. So, immediately, they were really freaked out. So, this is when, so at this point, Savannah, they didn't really think anything was happening. But at this point, they were like, all right, no, let's get out of here. So, they run back to the car and start driving as fast as they can in the opposite direction. Because, like, they were like, no. And it was still towards their house. So, they were moving the way they needed to go. They were like, we just got to get home. So, they start driving on the Franconia Notch, which is a very narrow, mountainous stretch of road that's very isolated, apparently. And so, at this point, it's probably like 11:30, and they're driving down this super dark, isolated road when they notice that this light that they've been seeing is following them. So, that's probably the most horrifying image I can get in my head, just driving down a really scary, dark mountain, like, that you don't really know the area that well, and then aliens are chasing you. That's big frightening. So, okay, so we got this couple frantically driving down this super narrow mountainous road in the dark, really super late at night, while this flying object with a super bright light is, like, flying towards them down this hill. Horrifying, like, coming out of my worst nightmares for real. So it's almost as if, or at least this is how they describe it, that the object was just, like, messing around with them, because they said it would, like, accelerate past them, but then, like, let them pass it, and then accelerate past them, and then, like, let them pass it again. It was just, like, playing a little game with them, which is creepy.
Yeah, that's a little weird, because it's like, if...
Like, what are you doing, right? Like, if you're going to take me, just take me. Like, what is this little cat and mouse game you got going on?
Like, obviously you're faster, so why are you pretending you're
like,
not?
What is this game? Just to torture them? I don't know. So then, after this little game was going on for a hot minute, the object, the flying object, rapidly descended towards their car. So quick and, like, so, like, Barney thought it was coming down on them. He slammed on his brakes in the middle of this highway. And although this aircraft was absolutely huge, it was completely silent. So, which is also extremely not normal with the technology of the time. So that just kind of adds more into, like, what the heck was this? So at this point, Barney and Betty are completely stopped. And
can you hear Lux again?
Oh, I didn't hear.
Oh, okay. She'd be barking in the background.
She was just saying hey. She was just saying hey to the aliens that are outside of your house right now.
Oh my gosh. I hope not. Anyways, sorry.
Anyway, no, you're good. So, okay. So, Barney and Betty are completely at a stop, and their whole vision, like, all they can see through their windshield is this UFO aircraft. Okay. Oh my gosh. And they were panicking, as would I in this situation. So, Barney actually had a pistol in his pocket, you know, for protection. And so he got out of the car, and literally when he opened the car, didn't hear anything, as if nothing was there, but there was a giant aircraft in front of him. So he gets out of the car, starts walking closer to it, and he's using the binoculars to, like, see inside the windows of the flying object. And he said that he counted 8 to 11 humanoid figures who were peering out of the craft's windows.
Oh my god, ew.
Disgusting. Like, disgusting.
Why was I only picturing, like, 2?
I know, there's a lot. Yeah, and apparently this thing is, like, massive. So, like, how many could even be inside, I don't know. So then all of the figures, once they like realize that he was looking at them, they all move away from the windows except for one, which continued to stare down Barney and then telepathically communicated a message to him saying, quote, to stay where you are, but keep looking. Which I'm like, ooh, God, that's atrocious. So yeah. Barney also says that they were wearing black glossy uniforms and black caps.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay. And so then he tore the binoculars away from his eyes and ran as fast as he could back to the car. He was like, we gotta go. We gotta get out of here. I don't know what I'm looking at right now.
Mm-hmm.
So he was just extremely hysterical at this point and just screaming to Betty, like, they're gonna get us. Like, we might as well not fight anymore. Like, we're dead. Like, they're getting us. And so, but then he starts driving. Again, hysterical and absolutely losing his mind at this point. But he's driving away as fast as he can, and he's telling Betty to keep an eye on the object. So she rolled down her window and is like halfway out of the car looking back and just not taking her eyes off of it, because obviously they need to keep track of where it is, and it's still following them. And then they start hearing this like rhythmic buzzing sound. And their car started vibrating.
I don't like that.
Mm-mm. No. And so the Hills describe it as it felt as if the unknown object passed through their car. Like when the vibration, whatever sound happened, as if the craft went invisible through their car and them.
Oh,
that's like
I get
the
it.
Only
that's...
thing. They can really describe it as they like it. It felt like it flew through them, which is just absolutely bonkers.
That's insane.
Yeah. And so then immediately when the object like passed through their car, they experienced an altered state of consciousness where they describe like feeling as if they were half awake, but half like unconscious / asleep.
Okay.
And so then the buzzing stopped and they're still feeling like fuzzy, and then a second series of the vibrating and buzzing happened, and then the couple immediately became fully conscious again. And when they became fully conscious again, they realized that they had traveled nearly 35 miles south, but didn't have any memories of actually driving it, even though they did.
What?
Uh-huh. Like, Barney was fully driving that car the whole time, and they were 35 miles from where they remember being.
So they were just, like, in a trance this
Kinda.
Whole time?
Well, it
or
was
did
like,
they teleport there?
I don't know. Or did the craft, like, take them there? Don't know. And they don't know either. So they just wake up, and they're like, what the
heck
happened?
They could see the odometer. Like, is it different?
Yeah, but did you look at it before, though?
You're right.
Because
yeah.
I don't regularly check that.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
True.
I don't know. So, obviously, at this moment of time, they're very shook up. And they're like, I don't even know what happened. But let's just go home.
Yes.
Like, what
that's
else can
the
you
mood.
Do?
Let's just go home.
Right. So, they finally got home a little after midnight. Or not midnight, dawn. Not midnight. It had been a long time. So it's like sunrise almost. And they make it back home. And immediately they start experiencing some odd sensations and impulses that they can't explain. Betty, for one, insisted that they keep all of their luggage near the back door rather than in the main part of their house. Which I'm like, that's weird. Also, why are you not going to unpack it? But she was like, no, yeah. It all needs to stay near the door. So, okay.
Just so they're ready to leave at any point.
Yes. And so the watches, they were both wearing watches when this happened. They both of them never worked ever again.
Oh.
Which we know, like, aliens have, or at least what we think we know, they have some sort of way to, like, mess with a magnetic field and things. So I don't know if that's what was happening with the watches, but they never worked again.
Mm-hmm.
And the leather strap of the binoculars was completely torn and ripped. But neither one of them remember ever, like, doing anything to cause it to break. But it was broken. So, and also, the toes of Barney's shoes that he was wearing. He was actually wearing his best dress shoes, and they were, like, relatively new. They were completely scratched up, completely destroyed.
Oh, jeez.
So that's weird. So when they got back home, they both took extremely long showers to, like, try to wash off whatever the heck happened to them. They're like, maybe we were just crazy. Like, maybe we're sleep deprived. I don't know. You know?
Right. Yeah, it could be.
So they're, like, trying to, like, recount what happened to, like, see if they were both, like, I mean, they were trying to make sure they weren't crazy. They're like, okay, so this happened and this happened, you know. But their memories were extremely foggy. So they were like, whatever, let's just go to sleep. We deserve a rest after all this. However, after only sleeping but 2 hours, Betty got up and put on the exact outfit that she was wearing when the event happened. And then she realized, while she had it on, that there was a strange pink powder on the dress that she was wearing.
Interesting.
Right. And so, fast forwarding, whatever. Obviously, they end up telling people about this experience and other experiences that I'm going to get into. And so this dress and this substance, this pink powder that was on the dress, was actually tested countless times in multiple different labs. Chemical, forensic tests, all this stuff to try to find out, like, what it was. Nothing to this day has ever been concluded of what the pink powder was.
Oh, that's creepy.
So that's weird. That's super weird. And another interesting thing is that there were shiny concentric circles on their trunk. That was not there before.
That's not good.
Crop circle-like. So, yeah, at this point, we're like, okay, this isn't. Things are weird.
Yeah.
So
it's just like the bare minimum statement you could have. Things are weird. You know.
That's to say the least.
Exactly.
It's only going to get much weirder from here. It never gets better. So the Hills then decide, they're like, okay, let's experiment with a compass, right? Like, okay. We all kind of assume, like, something magnetic is happening, you know, something weird is happening. So they brought a compass to the car and brought it over to the trunk where they were, like, seeing these circles. And when they pointed the compass at the circles, the needle of the compass would whirl and turn around, like, really, really fast. And when they pointed it away from the circles, it would immediately, like, stop and, like, just be a normal compass.
Oh.
Which I'm like, okay, this is just wild. So, on September 21st, 2 days, well, like, three, but kind of two, two-ish days after the incident, Betty called the Peace Air Force Base to report the encounter. Because they were like, I don't know. But the reason that they waited the 3 days was because they were, like, heavily, like, debating whether or not they were going to tell people. Because, obviously, I already talked about, they were already seen as, like, weird, bad by the town in the time. And so they were like, do we want to seem, like, we're already outsiders by being an interracial couple. Do we want to seem like the crazy, psycho interracial couple who lost their minds and said they got abducted by aliens?
See, like, that's immediately what I thought in the beginning when you were saying all that stuff, how they were already sort of outcasts.
Yeah.
It's like, this is not gonna help their image at all.
So, I mean, like, it's good at least they're thinking about this. I feel like it, like, gives them credibility a little bit, you know? At least being like, we didn't want to say what happened, but they felt like it was a little bit too crazy to not tell anybody. Just in case maybe it was an alien, you know? I don't know. So, 2 days after they went and told the Air Force Base, Major Paul Henderson called the Hills up to say that they were probably just misidentified Jupiter, and that actually what they had seen was an optical illusion.
Of course.
Like, all of that they had seen, which is completely an optical illusion. So, to the Hills, obviously, it seems like they weren't taking this seriously at all. At least, like, that's literally all he said to them. And then that was it. So they were like, okay, well, I guess we did what we could do. But the major actually did report this, their little case, to Project Blue Book, which is the U.S. Air Force's biggest UFO research project. So interesting that he didn't, like, try to help them out at all, but he still told the biggest alien research team, like, in the world. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. So Betty knew that what she had seen was not an optical illusion. So she was like, fine, nobody wants to help me, I'll do the research myself. So she actually went and rented tons of books on UFOs from the local library, which is honestly me. So I feel like this podcast.
Yeah, but like imagine the struggle before internet. Like you have to go to the library,
like ask a librarian, hi, do you have any UFO books? Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a lot of work.
And everybody knows what you're looking up.
Exactly.
No Oof. Privacy of the internet.
Right. Thank goodness. We do not live in those times. I lost my spot. Oh, okay. So the couple ended up, over time, talking to a bunch of different people who they thought could, like, help them, you know. And they all kind of seemed to come to the conclusion that they were just crazy and that they think that they saw something that didn't actually happen. Which I'm like, bro, I understand where they're coming from, but, like, you don't even want to hear them out for 1 second? I don't know.
Right. Like,
I don't know. So, one thing I think that, like, had people believing that they were just crazy is because at this point their memories had not come back yet of, like, what exactly happened that night. And Barney had said that he believed that the mental block that he was at least experiencing was because his brain did not want to remember what happened. And that is probably the case. I mean, that's what the brain does with trauma. So, you know, probably what happened. So, moving along. I know this is a lot of information, but I just feel like it's the only way to tell it. Really a story. It really is a juicy one. So,
yeah.
10 days after the UFO encounter, Betty began having a series of very vivid dreams. So these dreams, they lasted for 5 nights, and she said that she had never in her life experienced such a vivid dream and being able to remember every single detail, which, I mean, I definitely have had vivid dreams that I remember, mm-hmm. at least most details, but I don't know. So, but after the 5 nights were up, the dreams never returned, ever to this day. So I'm like, interesting. And Betty did tell Barney about them, but he seemed uninterested, so she just decided to write them down, like, word for word, exactly what she could remember to have them, so.
Okay, her husband was like, I don't care about your dreams.
I feel like he was really scared, like, about what happened to him. And, like, he just kind of wanted to forget about it. And she was like, no, I need to know everything that happened.
Yeah, I
get it. Which, like, I get it. I completely get it. And plus, like, I think, like, rumors about aliens, like, probing people were, like, super common at this time. And I feel like that's what he was really worried about. And there are reasons for that. So we'll get into that a little bit later. Okay. But so I'm going to read you one of Betty's dreams because that's just, you just have to hear it, honestly. So in one dream, she and Barney encountered a roadblock and men, like, surrounded their car. Okay. And she lost, this is her dream. Don't forget that. Uh-huh. So she lost consciousness and struggled to regain it, but eventually she did. Then she realized that she was being forced by two small men to walk in a forest in the dark at night. Okay.
Okay.
And Barney was, like, walking behind her. So he was there too in her dream. And however, though, so in her dream, she, like, called out to him, like, Barney. But he seemed to be in a trance or, like, sleepwalking, like, he wasn't hearing her. Mm-hmm. So the men, they stood about five feet, 4 inches tall. So they, like, weren't super tall men either. So that's important.
That's shorter than me.
I know, me too. And all of them wore matching blue uniforms with caps similar to those worn by military cadets. So, okay. And they appeared nearly human, is what she said. They all had black hair, dark eyes, prominent noses, and bluish lips. And so that was all, like, human-like. But the only thing that was, like, a little bit off was their skin was, like, grayish. Not, like, fully gray, but, like, human, but, like, gray-ish. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so, at this point in the dream, Betty, Barney, and these men walk up a ramp into a disc-shaped craft. Okay. And once they were inside, Betty and Barney were separated. And she, like, protested this. Like, she was like, no, I don't want to go by myself. But she was told by the man who called himself the leader that if her and Barney were examined together, it would take much longer to conduct the exams. So she was like, okay. In her dream. So this is all in her dreams.
Yeah.
So she said then her and Barney were taken into separate rooms. So then Betty dreamt that a new man, different, like similar to the other ones, but she could tell it was a different person that she hadn't met yet, entered like this room that she was in with the leader. And they called the new man the examiner. So we got the examiner and the leader at this point in the room. And she said that he was like a very pleasant, calm energy. So that's good, I guess. And both the leader and the examiner spoke to her in English. So, yeah. But she said that the examiner's like language seemed like it was English, but it was like not fully English. Like she had a hard time like putting together what he was saying.
Okay.
I picture it like Yoda, like how he talks backwards, kind of.
Oh, yeah.
What it is, but that's what I picture it as.
Yeah.
So,
like, somebody who has, like, English as a second language.
Yeah, or maybe, like, a third, fourth, fifth, tenth
language.
Yeah, something like that. So, then the examiner said that he was going to do some tests on her to note the differences between humans and the craft's occupants. So I'm like, interesting. So she was sat on a chair, a bright light was shown on her, and the examiner cut off a lock of her hair. He examined her eyes, you know, everything about her. He saved trimmings from her fingernails. Disgusting. He actually used a dull knife, kind of like a letter opener, to like scrape some of her skin onto like,
oh my God.
Not like painful, just like a little bit. Like a okay. little bit of like the dead skin, you know.
Right.
Like not like cutting her up or anything. Then, this is disgusting. This is a trigger warning just for disgustingness.
Okay.
Then he tested her nervous system. Savannah, I'm so sorry that you have to hear this. Please skip 15 seconds if you really don't want to be disgusted. He puts a needle into her belly button, which causes her extreme pain. And then he, like, waved his hands in front of her eyes, and the pain went away.
Oh, my God.
What? Oh, my God. It makes me sick. It makes me sick to think about it. Moving on. Then, after that, the examiner left the room, and Betty had, like, a conversation with the leader. She didn't really say, like, that much about what she was talking about with him. But that, at the end, after their little convo, he gave her a book. And said that she needed to take it home with her. And so she was like, okay, where did you come from? And he pulls down, like you know, like in a classroom, like pulls down a map, like from the board. He pulls down this map, the star map that I had mentioned earlier, and pointed, like, here. From these stars, like, is basically what he said.
Okay.
From these stars. So then, after that, they're like, Betty and Barney are like reconnected, and the men escort them from the ship. And while they were like leaving the ship, like a disagreement between the little alien people broke out. And like the leader then was like, no, actually, you can't keep the book that I gave you. Like, we didn't all agree that you can keep the book, so you can't keep the book. But Betty insisted. They were like, we're gonna have to erase your memory.
Okay.
And she was like, I don't care what you do to me, I'm gonna remember. That's literally what she said. I'm like, that's so dramatic, Betty.
She said, here's my willpower, I'm remembering.
She was like, I don't care what you do to me, like, one day I'm gonna remember.
Listen, this would never be me. I forget things when I, like, walk two steps away from it.
Literally me.
I'll be sitting there about to say something and be like, oh, I forget.
Savannah, you know I do that every day.
Yeah.
Every day. It's never anything important.
I wish I had the willpower of her to, like, just she's remember like, it.
I'm it's remembering like, this. Yeah. But honestly, even though I do forget everything, if I was face-to-face with an alien, they're like, we're going to wipe your memory, I'd probably be like, boy, you can go ahead and try, but I'm definitely remembering it. Just so you know, see.
I don't know. I mean.
I probably would, too. So, then, the conclusion of the dream. Her and Barney were then taken to their car, where the leader suggested that they wait and watch the craft's departure. So then they did so, and then they resumed their drive. So that's the end of the dream. And as you can imagine, this sounds a lot like possibly what could have happened during that missing time that they have. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
Like that possibly this dream was actually her memory coming back, like she said.
Okay. No, it definitely is.
Yeah. So, moving on. After the Air Force people kind of dismissed them the first time, they actually did reach back out to the hills. And they ended up having, a bunch of different meetings to try to, fully understand what happened. And then, eventually, they suggested they try hypnotherapy to try to remember what happened to them. So, the hypnosis begins on January 4th, 1964, 3 years after the first encounter.
Mm-hmm.
And both Betty and Barney were both hypnotized multiple times, but they were always interviewed separately so that they never knew how each other's sessions went. And at the end of each session, the doctor reinstated the amnesia so they wouldn't have to remember or relive what they went through.
Oh.
Because he said, it was traumatic. So, let's see here. Okay.
Okay, but that would be so scary, though. Like, I don't know. You, get the memories out, and then your doctor makes sure you don't remember them.
I know, but I think that actually happens a lot.
But it's just creepy, the fact it's that creepy, he knows.
Him and, the and whole Air Force, too.
Oh, because, yeah.
It was, an Air Force psychiatrist. The okay. Air Force was making them do this. Not making them. They agreed.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to get into their therapy sessions. But they did it separately. So we're going to talk about Barney's first. And he actually went first in real life, too. So he recalled seeing the non-human figures and that when he saw them, he was instantly filled with emotions of fear and then anger. But mostly fear overall. So he was legit extremely afraid of what was happening. And he said that he kept his eyes closed the majority of the time during the abduction and the physical examination. And so before I move on, I do want to clarify, their memories, they remember them now, obviously. Now I'm obviously reading you their memories. So at today, as I'm talking this, they have remembered what happened to them, but they did give them amnesia back in the day to not go through it.
Okay.
Anyway, moving along. So under hypnosis, Barney reported that the binocular strap actually, he was the one that broke it when he was running from the UFO to the car, but he didn't remember when he was not in the hypnosis. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So he then remembers that he remembers getting to his car and driving away from the UFO, but that as he was driving, he felt irresistibly compelled to pull off of the road and drive into the woods. I have to. Right now, I have to. So then he just yeets his car off the road, literally into the woods. So he's literally driving his car just through forest. what?
That's a little crazy.
It's crazy.
And some cars don't even, wouldn't even be able to do that.
I know, and I don't know if his car, survived. I mean, it was obviously damaged already from the UFO with little circles.
Yeah, so, that's true. He's like, I don't even care.
He's like, yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, he literally didn't even remember it.
You're right,
it.
Yeah.
So, he was he didn't even know. So, he was driving through the woods, right? And then he eventually sees six men standing, in an open dirt area of this forest. And at that moment, when he saw these men, his car stalled and three of them started walking up to his car. And okay. they told Barney, they said, don't be afraid. But obviously, he was very anxious and panicking. And one of the men told Barney to close his eyes. And then he just starts talking about how This is so weird, but this is just what Barney said. He said eyes were in his eyes and that there were just eyes everywhere. And, like, we don't really know what that means, but it's just so ominous. Like, that he was just seeing eyes everywhere and that their eyes were, like, in his eyes.
Okay, yeah, that sounds really weird. It's just I don't really know what to do with that.
Yeah, they didn't either. That's just what he said. I don't know. It just really creeps me out. He says, quote, all I see are eyes. I'm not even afraid that they're not connected to a body. They're just there. They're just up close to me, pressing against my eyes. Like, what does that mean?
I don't know.
That's so creepy. Anyway, he also mentions these beings were speaking English with him, but speaking in another language to each other. But the weirdest part of all, he says that he never saw their mouths move when they talked, but that he could hear it, like as if it was like telepathic.
Oh my God.
Which is what he said earlier, that he felt like they were talking to him in his head, but he could hear it. Which I'm like, what?
Okay, like, so, but I have a question though, like how is he hearing them talk to each other if it's just telepathic?
Yeah, I don't know. So I'll get into it a little bit later, but there are like differences in their story, and Betty says that their mouths were moving. My theory on this is that Barney actually says that he kept his eyes closed most of the time. I think that he just literally wasn't seeing them talking. And so in his brain, after he realizes like, oh, maybe I did get abducted by aliens, like they're telepathically communicating towards me. Okay. Like his eyes were just closed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like he wasn't looking. Huh. So that's what I think. Anyway, I don't know if that's the truth, but so then Barney remembers him and Betty being like escorted onto the craft and then being separated. So this is the same story, if you can catch my drift, that Betty said she experienced in her dream, quote unquote, that they were brought on the ship and then separated. So Barney, in his hypnosis still, remembers being escorted into an exam room and laid down on a table, like an exam table. And he described his experience during this exam in very struggled words, like he could hardly get it out. And I'm just going to say right now, this is a huge trigger warning, like skip a minute.
Oh, okay,
I'm sorry, Savannah.
You keep doing this.
I'm really sorry. But, like, it's important to know.
Yeah.
So he claims that once he was like laying on the exam table, they put a cup-like device over his genitals, and he said that he did not have an orgasm, but that he could tell somehow that a sperm sample had been taken.
Oh, ew.
Yeah. So then the beings scraped his samples of his skin and checked all of his like ears, mouth, nose, all that, blah blah blah. Then a tube was inserted into his anus and then quickly removed. Why? Don't know. Then he recalled, after that, he was done. Then he was escorted back into the main room, saw Betty, and then they were both escorted off the ship and taken to the car. And then they watched the then he remembers watching the ship leave.
See, that whole thing just made me think about how we sort of test on animals, like humans.
Yeah.
We'll test on animals.
It's kind of the same thing.
Like, they're just picking up another species and they're gonna like, oh, we're gonna test some of their stuff and like maybe do some breeding. It's that's what humans do.
That's what we do. It's not that far of a like stretch to say that there's probably not another animal species out there wanting to do the same to us.
Yeah.
Like, humans are just so like self-centered that we don't think about anything outside of us. But it's very possible. So moving on now to Betty's sessions. So her account is very similar, almost exact, similar to her dreams. Okay. And as we all know, that the dreams that she had is also very similar to what Barney remembers under hypnosis. Mm-hmm. So, like, overall, like, their stories are really kind of matching up. And so she's, like, the only thing different is that Betty was shown the star map while Barney, like, wasn't really. And so the psychiatrist is like, okay, let's, like, dig deeper into that. Like, let's try to remember this star map. Like, can you draw it? And so she said while she was on the ship, she saw it as a 3D, like, hologram. Like, that's... Oh. She's like, I can't really describe it other than it was 3D and technology. Like, she didn't say a 3D hologram, but that's what people have gathered from what she was saying.
Mm-hmm.
So she was like, it's going to be really hard to draw, but I can try. So she did draw it. And she said that the beings told her that the stars connected by the solid lines... I guess there were solid lines on there, actually form trade routes, whereas the dashed lines means it's like the less traveled stars. So I'm like, oh, they really told her some stuff about this like whole map situation, this whole intergalactic situation we got going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
see, this stuff is just so crazy to me because it's just, I don't know. And now that I'm thinking about animals on our planet, it's like it gives it a whole nother perspective.
Exactly. Because like,
imagine we do this to a species,
yeah,
and then just let them go, and then they go back to their people and they say some similar type stuff.
Exactly. Like, you're crazy.
Yeah. And like, and they just like explain it in like these weird ways because like obviously they don't know everything, right, about our society.
Right.
It's like, I don't know. It's just crazy.
It's crazy because, like, it's so possible, yet we look at these, like, incidents, like, these people are crazy. That's, like, the first thought you get. Like, yeah. But they might not be.
Yeah.
They really might not be. So, many scientists, many researchers have studied this star map that she drew during her session. And, I mean, like, a lot of research was done. Like, they really wanted to know. But nobody can actually agree on if this is real or not. Like, it's not like people think it's fake. Like, people really either think that it's real or really, really think that it's not real. So, that's still unknown to this day.
Also, she probably could have, like, I mean, if she was just drawing it, like, what if it was, like,
wrong? Off? Exactly. Yeah. Like, it definitely is off. She said it was off.
Just the then fact that they, like, so many people have studied it is, like, kind of funny.
Yeah.
It's like the idea of it, okay, that I can like believe in.
Mm-hmm.
But like if you're actually studying the roots, it's like it's probably not that accurate, you know?
Right. So. Right. Like, no, definitely not.
Yeah.
But yeah. So the doctor's conclusions. So he speculated that Barney's recollection of this UFO encounter was probably a fantasy inspired by Betty's dreams.
Okay.
He was like, yeah, he just simply thought that was the most reasonable and consistent explanation. And Barney absolutely rejected this. He was like, absolutely not. Like, I'm not. He was like, you think I'm dumb? You think I'm making this up? Like, I'm not. Like, I'm simply, it's not true. It happened to me. And he kind of thought, like, the doctor was just saying that because the one thing they couldn't agree on was that, like, oh, I forgot to say this. The one thing that they couldn't agree on was if whether or not they were talking with their mouths open, but also Betty never heard them speak in another language.
Oh.
She said they were always speaking English, even to each other, whereas Barney said they were speaking a different language to each other. So that was, like, the only really big difference in their stories. But the doctor was like, because that doesn't match up, I think that you're lying. Or that you were influenced by her story.
Hmm.
And I'm like, but so many things are similar. I don't know.
Like, okay, I don't know. I feel like there's definitely interpretations that could be made in that situation.
Definitely.
Like, if this is a random other species you've never seen before and you've never heard them, then, like, what if their accent sounds like another language
That's
to you.
That's very true. Know? That's very true. And also they said they were going in and out of consciousness. So
yeah, that too.
Like when I'm waking up, if somebody's talking to me in the morning and they like are waking me up out of sleep, it sounds like they're not speaking English either. So
yeah,
I don't know. I feel like that could be argued so easily. So the fact that the doctor is just like dismissing them, it's wild. So after this, after the, like hypnosis sessions, the Hills went back to their regular life. They were willing to discuss the encounter like with their family and friends and the occasional UFO researcher, but they like apparently made no effort to like speak out publicly on it after they did like a little, you know, whatever, all that they already did. They're like, no, we're done. Nobody believes us and they think we're crazy, so we're done. So, and I really feel like that's important to note in this case is that they didn't, they never really were just doing this for, like, the fame. Mm-hmm. Never. They only went to, like, the Air Force. Like, they were very, they took it very seriously. So, I don't know. It's just a part of me, I don't know, something really believes them, almost. Even though a lot of people don't believe them, I do, for some reason.
I think I believe them, too, because of those reasons. It's like, they weren't, like, they don't want all this attention anyway.
Exactly. And they didn't get it, either. Like, they never got it. Like,
I guess you could make the argument, though, that, you know, they were getting the attention for being biracial couple.
Yeah.
And then what if they wanted attention for something else? They're like, okay, we want to be the alien couple instead.
They're like, well, if we have to go down, I mean, that's a good point. It is a good point. But also a part of me is just like, but that would still probably never change the way people saw them.
Yeah.
On the outside.
You're right.
Like,
you're right.
If they didn't know them, then they would just think of them like as, you know. But I don't know. That's a good, fair argument. So, let's see here. Okay. Let's get to the part where people, why people don't believe it, that this actually happened. Psychiatrists today, you know, have obviously looked back on this case and evaluate, you know, knowing what we know now. And they suggest that the alleged abduction was actually a hallucination brought on by the stress of being an interracial couple in the early 1960s
in the United States. And I'm like, I don't know.
That's a really far reach. Like, you're going to say it's because of that, that they're hallucinating all this? That's a little bit extra.
Like, they're not the only ones.
Right.
So why?
Right. And maybe there is this criticism. Like, maybe they were criticizing them so hard because this kind of is the first one that was, like, very public. You know? Like, let's not forget that this is, like, the first widely publicized UFO encounter. So, like, people had never really, like, experienced anything this big before.
Yeah.
So, like, I kind of get why they're not believing them, but I don't know. And so the, let me see this. Betty completely discounted that. She was like, absolutely not. And she actually claimed that their relationship, like her relationship with Barney, was absolutely amazing. And that all of their real friends and family supported them and knew that their relationship was solid. And that that's all they really cared about. They're like, I don't care what you think about our relationship. Never have, never do, never will. So I think that's cool. And the original psychiatrist who performed like the hypnosis sessions on them said that the Hill's marital status actually had nothing to do with the UFO encounter. So even though he didn't believe that what at least Barney was experiencing was real, he was like, well, it definitely wasn't because of their relationship. Like he was like, no matter what, it definitely wasn't a hallucination. Like, you know. So, let me see here. Oh, and so others actually who live nearby, like the area that this happened at, claim that the aircraft was actually what's known as a warning beacon. Like some sort of like actual thing that is real, like not an alien, like that we have. I don't really know what it is, but something, some military thing called a warning beacon, and apparently it moves in a similar way to what Betty saw. So some people think that that's actually what she saw, and then maybe made up the rest. I don't know.
See, it always goes back to the military.
Like, it always does. It that is facts. That is facts right there.
And I think a warning beacon, like, that sounds like it would be like a lighthouse type of thing.
That's okay. That's what I was thinking too. Like, and that also does not move like that. Not upward. It still moves straight. So, sus.
Yeah, I just feel like people's follow.
Yeah, like, although there's not much to support the claim that they're making, the reasons for people not to believe it, it's not enough. Their reasoning to not believe it, it's just not, none of it's enough.
Yeah, it's not.
To me. It's not enough to say that it's real either, but it's really not enough to say that it's not. Let's see. So, as I said multiple times, this in the United States is like the first widely reported alien abduction, and so as you can imagine, it's been used in so much media. Many movies, books, TV shows have been made based on this story, And this story actually is the complete inspiration for season 2 of American Horror Story.
Oh.
If you've seen it. Have you seen that?
I have.
Asylum?
Oh, yeah.
The end? You remember the couple with the alien?
Yeah.
That was them. Which I think is cool. Love that season. It's my favorite one, actually.
I don't know which one's my favorite.
That's hard.
I have a few.
I can't even really go down that road at this point. But to this day, we still don't have an answer. And as I said, I don't know. I just believe them. I believe them. And that's it, Pooh. That's the abduction of Betty and Barney Hill.
Yeah, I think I do, too.
I really do. Maybe not all of it happened, but I think something strange happened. And I think people might be trying to cover it up.
Yeah, I at least think that they believe this happened.
Oh, 100%. You know, they definitely do. And I just feel like the fact that they both believe it, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just don't know why, but I really believe it. Mm. Don't know. But, whew, I think this is our longest episode, guys.
Oh, really?
We really did it. Wow, we did it. Yeah, that was a big one. It scares me to tackle big cases like that, but very worthwhile. I feel like that story is really crazy.
Yeah,
and it'll stick with me. It'll really stick with me for a while. I feel like I'm going to be driving down like a mountainous road and I'm going to be really freaked out. Like genuinely, I'm going to be freaked out. but yeah, definitely go check out our Instagram to see the crazy house. Like y'all are really not ready to see that.
Oh, I know.
And it's fireplaces.
It's really crazy.
Like, or not fireplaces, chimneys.
Literally, how does the house have 6 chimneys?
That's a fire hazard, if you ask me. But yeah, go check out our Instagram. And that's really all I have for you guys this week.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, well, see you next week.
All right, cue the music.